Attention podcast world. Chance Rip Podcast is proud to present a spin-off podcast of Boat Chip Podcast. This podcast is completely uncensored, so viewer discretion is advised. Rated R for mature audiences only. You have been warned. Now here's your host, Boat and Chip, and here we go.
On this episode of Champ Boat Podcast, Episode 3, Boat will sit down and interview the fan champ. Lots of questions to follow on how it became and how everything began. So stay tuned, folks, to Boat Champ, Episode 3.
Welcome everybody to the Champ Boat Show. It's me, Boat, and your friend,
Fan Champ.
This episode is special to me because I get to see what my guy is all about and how he started his career in the podcast industry and how he became the Fan Champ, everybody. So, Fan Champ.
Yup.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Where are you going to start?
I want to start from the first beginning.
Well, in 1977, when I was born... Are you going back that far or no?
We can go back that far.
Right, well, I almost died. But I know a story.
Man, that's crazy.
How did
you almost die?
Well... We'll get into it because it's too, a little too graphic and a little too personal, but my mom pretty much, the umbilical cord pretty much wrapped around my neck, pretty much strangled the shit out of me, so.
Oh, shit. That's crazy, dude.
I'm here. I'm the champ. I'm here.
Yeah, you are the champ. But
Ten-pound baby boy, Michael.
Yeah.
10 pounds, 8 ounces.
Wow, you were a fat.
Exactly. So, the fans want to know, and you probably want to know, how it all came about.
How the Fan Champ came about.
Well, when I was 6 years old, my dad decided to sit me down in front of television of wrestling. It was Hulk Hogan versus Iron Sheik. Madison Square Garden. Hulkman was born. It was August 24th, 1984,
if I'm mistaken. How old were you then?
I was 6 years old.
Holy shit. Your dad brought you there, or?
No, we were just watching TV. He just said, sit on down, watch it on television. It was airing live on TV.
So this was his first love.
Yeah, he watched it for a while. My grandparents watched it for a while. No, my grandpa watched it for a long time. And dad kept track of it, you know, going through my history and stuff.
That's fucking awesome.
You know, having Putski, the whole nine yards. So, I grew a love for it.
Who drew your eye first in wrestling?
Oh, Hulk Hogan. When he played the leg drop. Then he laid drop on Iron Sheik. Won a title. I'm like, wow, this guy's awesome. He's like a superhero on live TV.
Yeah, but what about...
And then I got attached to the other ones, you know, Heart Foundation, so on, you know.
What about the fucking Rowdy Piper?
Oh, yeah, Rowdy Piper, the Piper's Pit. That was my inspiration right there, you know, just be yourself, be crazy, you know, do, you know, interview others. That's pretty much one of my inspirations for podcasting, you know, interviews and, you know, and where the Piper used to say, which when they have the answers, I change the questions. So.
so this is my show, so we're going to keep it good.
Yes. So, yeah, so it inspired me, you know, as I grew older. I wanted to become a professional wrestler. You know, I was interested in it. You know, I had badass moments in school and stuff like that.
What stopped you?
Well, after high school, you know, I took the bumps and stuff, and I did, you know, outside training I'm a good friend, you know.
I'll get into him.
Right, in a little bit. I was shitting and stuff. I just wanted to become a wrestler. But then, you know, it upsets me how people always say, oh, wrestling's fake. Wrestling's this. Okay. First of all, people out there, you know, I'll tell you about it here. And you, people out there, it seems fake. People say it's fake. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to ignore you when you say that. Because when you see these guys putting blood, sweat, and tears into this business, it's not as fake as it seems. Because they go out there every week, you know, away from the families, bump after bump after bump after bump. If I come and hit my head with a steel chair, is it going to tickle? Hell fucking no, it's going to hurt. No, like fucking hell.
It's going to hurt.
If I take a baseball bat and smack you in the back of the head with a baseball bat, it's going to hurt. Candlestick across the chest, it's going to hurt. And so on. So, yes, it's choreographed out, but it's things like fuck, like, you know, it's going to hurt. And people go up to the top rope and fly up the top, you know, going through a table. Yeah, okay, maybe the table's come by and break away, you know, the TV screens are actually...
What about Jeff Hardy?
Well, Jeff Hardy's crazy, you know, he's just a hard flyer, he's a risk taker. I'm sure he's broken many bones in his body. I didn't realize that, but, you know, he's...
I think he could have been a lucha.
Oh, definitely.
At one point.
Definitely. But, you know, I don't want to expose the business to anybody out there, but, you know, I want them to realize what it is. Like, for example, the TV screens. All the TV screens out there. Uh-huh. You know, when Jericho puts the TV screen or something like that? It's actually made of the same material as candy canes. It's sugar cane.
Yeah.
Well, again, I don't want to expose the business. I don't want to spoil anybody's, you know, fantasies, you know, actually a business. But there have been a lot of guys that went into the wrestling business saying, oh, it's nothing, this and that. And came out crying like little bitches. Believe me. So it's not as fake as it seems it is. And especially when you learn to take bumps, you learn how to fall. You know, I did some crazy shit I shouldn't have done either. But I learned, and I learned how to respect the business. I learned drop toe holds. I learned how to fall right. I learned a lot of stuff just to, you know, what it takes to be a wrestler. But then the travel part was insane. Like, you know, you leave with your family. At the time, my grandmother was sick. I didn't want to leave her, you know. I want to be there for her when she, you know, moved on. You know, it was a family. I can't leave a family behind. Sometimes you make a sacrifice, you know. Is it you want to do it? You want to stay and be with your family? You know, you don't want to lose that opportunity to say goodbye to your family members. So I made that choice, and I decided to go another way.
So this was the start of.
From the start of, like, I still wanted to be part of the business. I knew the inside. I knew how to fall. I knew how to do that kind of stuff. You know, a great friend taught me, like, the inside outs. He told me that a lot. You know,
what's his name?
Good old Aaron. I love you, brother. I know you're up there somewhere looking down. Good old Aaron Ganny. You know, we used to spend time together, hang out with each other, drink the beers, eat the pizza, you know, that kind of stuff. And told me a lot, you know. I learned the history. It interested me. I learned the history, you know, brushed up on the history of wrestling, and just pretty much became the wrestling encyclopedia. You know, I'm not knowledgeable of what business is like, you know, history of it. I started WrestleMania and stuff like that, and there's so much history on it. And I always thought to myself, like, what can I do, like, to still be part of it, but not be actually part of it? You know, it makes sense. Like, be part of the wrestling industry and be part there and get my name out there like a wrestler, but not actually be the physical in the ring kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's where it started. You know, then it kind of evolved more.
Yeah. So now, is this when all the indie shows going to?
Yeah, the independent shows. You know. We talked to a few others here and there. You know, I would say, hey, you know, let's start some stuff. You know, they would mess with me to come in the audience. I would start stuff with them. You know, everybody's scared and, you know, all planned it out and stuff like that. You know, that kind of stuff. Way back. And I always like sitting in the audience and cheering up, like, cheering up the fans. Like, you know, and getting the fans, like, going, like, hey, like, start chanting stuff. Start the chants up and stuff, you know. And remember one time I was at my grandpa, and we had fourth row from the ring. You know, that's what I meant, The Rock. And I bet you have a single running around the ring, rest his soul too. And we were like four rows from the ring.
Yeah.
WF was WF at the time. And it was MSG. Madison Square Garden.
That's when it was good.
Exactly. So this is when Undertaker first came out. And Undertaker was in the ring. And Pulver, you know, Undertaker down. It was actually like a cycle sit. And he was saying, oh, come on. And then you hide the fan up. Help the fans up. So what I did is I stood up out of my seat. And I started chanting, rest in peace. Rest in peace. Pulver turned to me. Pointing directly at me. And yes, yes. Start cheering like, yes, help. Join him. Like, I'll stand like, holy shit. Pulver pointed at me. Wants me to help the fans set types of thing up. So that's when it started evolving more. And
hold
like,
on. They never said rest in peace until you said something?
No, he was saying rest in peace. Starting to get back up. Help him, like, you know, when he pull the urine up. But no, when it was starting, he was like, he's getting all worried. So he kind of, and I started chanting it. I stood up and started chanting it. Me, Grandpa, and Dad. He pointed right directly to us. Like, yes, yes, follow him.
Awesome.
That was awesome. You know, I started a chant for Trish Stratus. You know, Trish Stratus' thing. Thank you, Trish. I started that in MSG when she retired. I just started a lot of chants. You know, you got this. And, you know, a lot of chants, like, here, you know, here and there. You know, hype the fans up. So then, my old buddy, you know, we were at a wrestling event one time. Good old Monster Factory. And we started doing this and that, you know, and he's like, you know what? You like having the fans, don't you? I'm like, yeah. You like the champion of the fans. I'm like, yeah. The champion of the fans. That sounds cool.
Yeah, champion of all fans. Is that when you first met him?
No, we actually met him at... I actually met Marion at... we seen him in North Princeton High School. He was at a wrestling event, you know, and came out the first time. Scary as shit. He used toothpaste. Made like a swimming out of his mouth. And they come out these big, scary... big, scary Nigerians. Like, you know, Nigerian nightmares. You know, think about the Michael Myers scene.
Damn.
And Josh told me afterwards, you know, I was busy, so I hit him up on Facebook. It's like, hey, man, nice show. You know, I'm so-and-so, Mike. Introduced myself. And he's like, oh, cool to meet you, Mike. You know, thanks for coming. We started talking more and more each week, you know, kept in touch. Then eventually I went down to Monster Factory and seen him wrestle. You know, we went down to Monster Factory. And,
is that still around?
Yep. Great graduates, good old shout out to Danny Cage. Hope you have my pocket one day, brother. Good old Larry Sharp, rest in peace, Larry Sharp. Sheamus.
Hold on, you met Sheamus there?
No, graduate. Sheamus, Big Show, Godfather, Bam Bam Bigelow, King Kong Bundy, D'Lo Brown, all graduates from the Monster Factory.
Oh, really?
Damian Priest. Recent, you know, all from the Monster Factory.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Matthew Riddle, Monster Factory. So, yeah, it was pretty cool, you know.
You gotta take me to GCW, though.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely go to GCW for hyping them up.
Because Matt was telling me about the death matches.
Nice. So, yeah, so that, you know, that was fun, you know. I started learning the wrestling industry and, you know, just that had always luck of talking to the wrestlers, you know, getting cool with the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Even was cool with, I remember my Men on a Mission, good old Mabel, good old Nelson Frazier. He was a great dude.
That's Viscera's, right?
Viscera, yep. King Mabel, Viscera. Yep.
It was Mabel first.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first gimmick.
Good old Men on a Mission.
He used to wear purple
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
His good name was good old Nelson Frazier.
Yeah.
And we would go online and chat for hours. And I was like, yeah, man, he's cool as fuck, you know. Went online and started talking to him online, you know. He told me stories about New Japan, because he went to New Japan for a while.
Yeah?
And he would tell them...
Japan's been around for how long? Oh, now?
Years.
Now, if WWE's been around, how long has that been around for?
I'm sure a lot longer. You know, Japan wrestling has a lot of respect for wrestling. You know, when they had their own hometown heroes and stuff. And, kind of just like, what you call it? Kind of just like, good old, Mexican wrestling.
Oh, yeah, Mexican wrestling's good, too.
But,
because they got a lot of luchadors.
Luchadors, yeah.
You ever seen Lucha Underground?
Mm-hmm.
You know John Morrison was over there?
Oh, Lucha love that. He's going to love that show.
I wonder if John Morrison's going to show up anywhere.
That'd be awesome. Because he's a good wrestler.
He got fucked over in the WWE. Mm-hmm. They make him as a joke.
They do.
And I don't know why. That was like the third time they did that to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But,
don't even give him like a title reign. Just give him work with the Miz and then fuck you.
Look at
and
all.
Then write him off.
Yeah, pretty much screwed up.
But fuck it, that doesn't even matter. Going back to yours, truly.
So yeah, I mean, Nelson would tell me the stories of Japan, and he would say that Japan, if you would say the word fake, they'll take you by your drawers, give you your biggest wedgie, take you by your drawers and your head, take you by your back of your neck, your skin, and they'll throw you in the ring, and let you feel how fake it is. Because they do not like disrespect to their wrestling.
Yeah. I just, you know... With all the, you know... wrestling in life... I think the Attitude Era really did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a good era.
Mm-hmm.
And then... there was a couple better, good eras too, but, I've never seen... a good wrestling like AEW.
Totally.
But yeah, go back to what you were saying. You became the fan champ.
Yeah, so as time progressed, you know, having the fans and stuff. So a couple of wrestlers, you know, certain places here and there. And it's like, you're like the champion of fans. Like, you know, you're like a fan, but you're a champion. I'm like,
who's saying this to you?
Oh, a bunch of people. Like, you know, Aaron and a couple others. Talk online and stuff. You know, I had a good contact with the wrestlers, you know, talked to them online late at night, you know, hang out late at night and just go on AOL and go on, you know, chat things and like that and just like, just talk shit, like, you know, just talk about, you know, love for wrestling, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears, all that kind of stuff. And it started revolving around my head, like, you know what? I could be still becoming a in the industry. So people, a lot of people gave me ideas, like, why don't you just interview? Why don't you be like a broadcast? Why don't you go into broadcasting? Because I used to love announcing, like, you know, Legion and the following contest schedule for one fall. I used to love doing that. I used to go to the middle of the field, and my nanny used to tell me, you know, you always be a wrestler, you always do it so good. So,
it's hard.
Nanny used to always tell me that, you know, oh, you're a good wrestler, Mikey, you're gonna do good. You know, and I always wanted to make her happy as well. My nana was very close to me. Grandpa was very close to me. We used to go to a lot of wrestling events. We used to meet a lot of wrestlers, you know, a lot of autograph sessions, Friday King Flea Market. So then it started involving me. It's like, you know, maybe I could become more. Like, what if I interview?
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right. So I decided to make myself, give myself a little gimmick. So I decided, what if I'm the fan of champions? Like, all the fans out there, I would be their champion, like their leader. Like,
hold
you know.
On. So you were the fan of champions?
Right, fan of champions. So then I cut it short, like, fan champion. Like, okay, I can work with this. I'm working more and more.
Fan champion.
So then I had
then I became the fan champ.
Fan champ. First fan champion. And I decided, you know, let me get a belt and go around like, no, wow, fan champ is here. Fan champion is here. He's ready to hype the crowd up. That's how I, you know, started moving forward. You know, went to shows and met wrestlers. Some wrestlers autographed it. Some wrestlers loved it. Wow, I like your belt. Let me sign it for you. Bret Hart, for example. You know, I like your belt, man. Can I sign it? It's like, oh, hell yeah. You know.
Hold on. He signed your belt?
Mm-hmm.
That is fucking awesome.
He grabbed it, like, hey, man, I like your belt. Come on, if I sign it. And he was like, oh, you know, that's extra money. He's like, no, it's on me. I like the belt. I said, thank you, man. Appreciate it. So that was cool. You know, RIP to the fan title, you know. Time progresses. Time for a new title. You know, this and that. But we'll get to that story.
It's time for a new look.
Time for the fan champ to involve and stuff like that. But yeah, as time progressed, you know, I got the belt made. Got more done. You know, and progressed. We haven't got to the podcast part yet. That's going to be fun.
So now you're already the fan champ.
Fan champ. Time progressed. So then I want to say maybe, gosh, early 2000s, you know, as every guy goes through ups and downs, you know, in life and females and all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, normal stuff. Life itself, sickness, you know, family, something like that. I kept progressing. Try to go to wrestling, many wrestling events I can. Try to be involved, you know, Legends of the Ring. Right there. You know, Legends of the Ring here and there, you know, this and that. And I got known. You know, oh, hey, look, fan champs here. Fan champs here. It didn't become Mike. It became more fan champ. You know. And they went to LTR, you know, and they would say, oh, hey, come on over, look at the camera. You know. The camera started interviewing me in the middle of nowhere, asked me the whole story, you know. Here's a story I'm telling now, you know, here and there.
Yeah, but I'm telling it better.
Exactly. We're getting in depth. So that time progressed, like, you know, I wanted to do more, you know?
Yeah. You got tired of being a pussy.
Yeah, pretty much. So I want to do more. I want to get my name known out. It's like, what can I do? So then I came across podcasting. I was like, what if I do a podcast? Like, I wanted to give it a shot. I can sit down and interview people here and there.
Yeah.
You know, get people, maybe get wrestlers on, talk to wrestlers, tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
So then I came across good old Ming Chen, comic book man. And so I listened to him, you know, here and there. And it became more listening.
Kevin Smith,
Buse Q's, like all those fun guys.
Oh, okay. All right. No,
yeah.
I just wanted to know who you were.
Correct.
If we were on the same page.
Yep. Right there. Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, Mike Zapsik, Ming Chen, Walt Flanagan, the whole comic book man guys.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson. So, yeah. So then I got involved in that, you know, listening to his podcast here and there.
They were your favorite?
Yeah, I pretty much listened to them first, Mike and Ming. Then the Mike and Ming show, and they still do it once in a while, and they have I Sell Comics. So then, you know, the story became interesting. And he kind of said in that part of one of his podcasts that podcasting was like therapy. I'm like, wow, okay, maybe I should give this a shot. So I looked high and low, you know, how to record. I started recording on Notepad. And Notepad and uploading it to like a little tape recorder kind of cheesy link onto Facebook.
Oh, really?
So it was like really, really small. Like,
so
you know,
it's
like,
way better now.
Oh, for sure. It evolved. So then I did my first podcast. It went well. I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's not going to happen. You know, it's kind of cheesy. And then people just started listening. Like little nips and picks. You know, like, hey, that was cool, man. Good job.
And I'm not reading anything. I'm just going off what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're natural. You know, not many people, you know, are able to do this right off the bat, you know, come on and interview. And just takes the right person and, you know, actually sit down and podcast. And,
yeah.
You know, talent we had. But like I said, I never, you know, then I did number episode 2. Then I got my first guest, which was Tammy Lauren. Big shout out, Tammy. Yes, you're the icon. You're the top ever iconic guest ever. She loves me hearing me say that. I'd love to have her on the podcast again as well.
Who?
Tammy Lauren. She was in Wishmaster and she was in a few other soap opera shows, but she's awesome.
Yeah.
She was in Wishmaster.
Well, Bochamp is all about just
getting to know and stories
to
and
know each
exactly.
other and, you know. And yeah.
But yeah, so then at time of grass, you know, then we went to episode 5 and I as time progressed, I got a little bit better here and there. And then I discovered Anchor. You know, I could do editing and stuff like that. I was like, all right. So it's kind of made myself evolve into a producer, an editor, kind of that kind of stuff. had the honor of meeting Ming, sitting down with Ming, podcasting him, telling the inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, went to the studio, we podcasted a few episodes there, and it just pretty much evolved, you know, and I got the name, you know, I'm Fan Champ, why not call it Champ's Word Podcast, like Champ's Word. I'm spreading the word, you know, I'm giving my word out, I'm talking. Yeah. So that's kind of how it evolved, you know, this and that.
So your nickname is Champ's...
Fan Champ.
Fan Champ.
Fan Champ.
But your podcast is Champ's Word.
Because I'm pretty much talking with my opinions, talking my word. You know, I'm spreading the word about, you know, good stuff and telling my stories like I am doing now.
Wow, dude. That's another story. That's another day.
Exactly.
Of Champ's Word.
So, yeah, we're just...
I want to hear more about... next week, I want to hear more about Champ's Word.
Champ's Word podcast.
Yeah, how that came.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was good.
There's more to this story, like...
For sure. Ups and downs and hopes and things and running out to people and, you know, getting the guests coming on and just people respecting the actual podcast, you know, like...
But I want to know Fan Champ this week. I don't want to know Champ's Word. Yeah.
That's my story. And, you know, that's how it all evolved. That's how it came about, you know, and it's actually the best thing that's ever happened to me, you know. It made me open up more, made me, you know, be myself. You know, it says this little cheesy kid in the corner when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dark with the glasses and the fucking crazy ass hair.
Yeah.
Now I'm just evolving into this bullheaded champion, you know, having fun and showing my love for the business, showing my respect for the business. It evolved into meeting great people, meeting celebrities, becoming friends with celebrities, becoming friends with wrestlers.
Dude, that's what you want.
It opened me up like I never imagined.
Yeah, well, I think this story is to its end, right?
Yeah. Well, next week we'll get to the story of how much podcasting has done for me.
How Champ's Word.
We're doing part two.
Came about. So this story is to be continued.
To be continued for part two.
Too.
But thanks both. You know, let me tell my story. You know, it's awesome. I'll tell my story. I hope it inspires anybody. You know, everybody out there. You know, there's actually if there's one way you don't want to go. You know, you can't go one way. It's always another door open up. Like for example, I didn't become a wrestler, but I became a podcaster. I became an editor, producer. I'm going to the movies now. I want to become movies. I got new dreams. Like if one dream didn't happen, I'm here for another dream. I'm focused on that dream. Like I want to become an actor, you know, I'm doing a little bits and pieces here. I'll doing voiceovers. I love entertaining people. I love entertaining others. You know. Maybe I've not been a wrestler, but I have the experience background, but I can actually entertain people in another way.
Yeah.
That's what makes me happy, you know.
Yeah. All right, guys, like I said, this to be continued. And thank you for another episode, what, 3?
Episode 3.
Of Champ's Word Podcast.
No.
Of Champ Boat.
Champ Boat Podcast. Thanks, Boat.
No problem.
Till next time, guys. Peace out.
Peace out. Loving life.
Watch this. Hey, Boat.
What's up?
I'm looking for a good burger. You want to find one?
Oh, great. Well, you gotta go to this place in Jamesburg. It's called Bovine Burger.
Bovine Burger. They got great burgers and much, much more. What else do they have there?
Oh my God. They have like veggie burgers, chicken burgers. They have pickle chips, french fries, Diablo fries, milkshakes.
Milkshakes are awesome.
Cake shake, which was awesome.
Cereal milkshakes.
Cereal milkshakes.
Everybody, if you're looking for a burger, there's only one place to go. Located at
Jamesburg, New Jersey.
Jamesburg, New Jersey. Bovine Burgers. The burger that'll make your mouth water.